May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 105. When I by faith my Maker see, in weakness and distress, brought down to that sad state for me, which angels can't express. Hymn 105.
Thank you. read together from the Word of God, from two portions of Scripture. First, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Gospel of John, chapter 15. We read the first 16 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, even so, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment, abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now please turn to the first general epistle of John, chapter 4. First epistle of John, chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that God sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Therefore he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Lord, bless to us then the reading of his word. Help and teach us to pray. Kind and merciful and gracious God, once again thy kindness, mercy and goodness, Lord, little company then of poor sinners gather together in thy courts, the evening hour of thy day. And Lord, and again, we are dependent, dear Lord, upon that help that cometh from above. And Lord, we desire to be found like the dear psalmist when he said, I will look up unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Dear Lord, and our help this evening, whether, Lord, we speak or hear, Lord, indeed must come from heaven. Must come, dear Lord, from those everlasting hills. And, dear Lord, do come. Come into our midst and make thy presence known and felt. Lord, we come desiring to see Jesus, to hear his voice, to receive his word in our hearts, and pray, dear Lord, then that thou art be gracious to us. We need thee, Lord, to be found here, and found as the master of the assembly, to be found in divine control, Lord, then look upon us, we pray, and be our helper. Lord, we ask it, Lord, that this Sabbath day, this Lord's day, may not pass by without there being something done and accomplished in thy great and holy name in this house of God. Oh, dear Lord, do then come, speak, Lord, and let us hear thy voice. Lord, thou knowest how each come. Lord, we often think of dear Ruth, why she gleaned amongst the sheaves. There were those handfuls of purpose that were left, commanded to be left by Boaz. Dear Lord, thou art the heavenly Boaz. And oh, that thou art be then in such control, Lord, of this service tonight, that there may be some handfuls of purpose for the gleaners in Zion, in the field of a heavenly Boaz. They may have something to pick up, something to take home, something to beat out. They may obtain the ephah of barley. Lord, do then bless thy word. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, bless thy word. That word, dear Lord, that thou hast promised, that it shall not return unto thee void, but accomplish that whereto thou pleased to send it. Then, Lord, may we prove it to be so. Lord, and thy name alone, shall have all the honour, glory, and all the praise. Lord, and there was nowhere else for us to look, and there's nowhere else for us to plead, there's nowhere else for us to ask, but to ask and plead of thee for these great things. Lord, then do come. And do help us. Be with us then and bless us and favour our souls this evening hour. Lord, there are those that come seeking a portion for their souls. Oh, that they may not be sent empty away. That there may be, dear Lord, then the handful, there may be the droplet of water from salvation's wells, the crumb of mercy from the Master's table, that they may feed thereon and grow thereby. Remember those that come seeking then some evidence, some token, some evidence that their names are found recorded in some humble place beneath the Saviour's blood. Some evidence that thou hast got a purpose of love and mercy towards them. Lord, the psalmist prayed, show me a token for God. The harlot Rahab, she asked the spies, give me a true token. And thou knowest, dear Lord, where this desire, this request is in the hearts of thy people. They want a true token. They want some evidence that thou hast that commenced that work of grace in their heart, and that thou art save them at last by thy love and mercy. Then hear prayer, Lord. Be gracious to each and all. Send none empty away. We ask, O Lord, that thou art remember then and bless. We pray that thou art help us to bow our head before thee, dear Lord, in confession of all our sin and guilt. Do cover with the mantle of thy forgiving love, and do pardon and forgive all iniquity and transgression, Lord, those sins of youth and of unregeneracy, and sadly, Lord, the sins of profession too, the sins in our holy things. Lord, do cover all with the mantle of thy love. And we ask then that thou help us, and oh, to have that true godly sorrow and repentance over sin. That godly sorrow, that repentance that needs not to be repented of. The broken heart, the contrite spirit. Lord, we pray then that thou wilt be near each. Oh, for the Saviour's love, then to be known and shed abroad and fill each one's heart. so they may know that they're pardoned, sealed, and peace with God. Hear prayer once again. Dear Lord, we ask for this church and congregation. Do bless them together. Help them, Lord, be with them and favour them. Bless them with thy presence. Make thy goodness pass before them in the way. Lord, we bear each before thee. We think of our friends here that hold office. Remember them and help them. Their burdens, responsibilities. Each church member, each member of the congregation, Lord, which runs, dear Lord, from the eldest to the youngest. We pray then that thou be with each and all. Oh, may each and all have that good thing in their heart to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, there are many, Lord, here, Lord, whose names are not found, literally here on the church book. But, oh, Lord, may their names be found, recorded in heaven, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, to be gracious and make it known and manifest whose they are and whose they serve. Be that each. Lord, we think of the parents at home tonight, with the little ones. Remember them. Those dear little children, be with them. Be gracious to them and help them. Oh, they've got an ever-dying soul. We lovingly commend them to thee, Lord. Thou art be gracious to each and all. And oh, that those little ones and the younger ones here, Lord, may have that good thing in their heart, to the Lord God of Israel. Oh, that their souls may be on the stretch to find Christ. The apostle speaks about determined to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Oh, may they be blessed with this grace, with this faith, with this zeal, to be then looking unto Jesus. Hear prayer then. Lord, for one another, we think of those, Lord, that may be laid aside in affliction's path, but thy hand and heal and restore, we pray. Lord, to remember thy people as we think of one another, Lord. Lord, and some of thy people, Lord, have their children, Lord, who are not found in the house of God. Have mercy upon them, the prodigals, Lord, and do bring them back. Do snatch them as brands from the burning. Do make them as a trophy of thy grace. Whilst they may think and feel that they've finished with their chapel going, they've finished with their Bibles, Lord, let them know that it's not finished with them. Oh, thou turn their hearts and their affections to those things which are above. Oh, Lord, we think of some, dear Lord, in the past we've known about. Lord, how thou didst arrest them, one another, Lord. Arrest them by thy grace and thy love, and didst cause them to return. They heard thy voice. There was awakening. Oh, dear Lord, do then put forth the power of thy Holy Spirit, for thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, do bless, we pray, do appear. Oh, that, Lord, these prodigals, these men that have left and forsaken the house of God, that they may be brought by thy Spirit to a blessed faith in Jesus' name. Lord, do bless them. And Lord, then we pray for others, Lord, that are found in bereavement's path, comfort their hearts, to support, sustain them, hold them up. Remember the widows and the widowers. Be with those who have lost mother, father, brother or sister, maybe a child. Lord, have mercy upon them. Oh, may they know that thou art that God of all comfort. Oh, that they prove that underneath are the everlasting arms of love and mercy. Lord, we pray, thou art prayer again for those in trials and troubles and difficulties. Lord, do appear for them here and there. There are those, dear Lord, that perhaps we know not that, Lord, they find difficulty in finding employment. Lord, do open a door for them. And dear Lord, do bless them with, an occupation, Lord, and thou wilt go before them. They may see thy good hand. Others, Lord, it may be in other ways. Provide then for thy people. Make thy goodness pass before them in the way. May they see thy good hand and thy love and thy mercy. And there's the afflicted, remember them. Put thy hand and heal and restore. Those that may come, bringing their afflictions with them, undertake for them, bless them. And hear prayer also for our nation, appear for us. Raise up for us, Lord, men that fear thy name. Govern those that govern us and change their hearts and their affections, or that they may be set on those things which are above. Oh, deliver us from wicked and unreasonable men. And hear prayer, Lord, that right laws may be enacted, that wrong ones removed from our statute book. Hear prayer that we may each be prepared then for glory, for heaven. And we do pray that thou wilt then help us. Lord, we need thy help this evening hour. And Lord, one once more called upon to speak in thy name. And we need that help and that strength, Lord, that comes from above, naturally and spiritually. And we need thee, Lord, to fill our poor hearts with a sense of thy love and mercy. Lord, that we may pour out as thou dost pour in. Then, dear Lord, do grant a door of utterance. And oh, that thy word may not return in this night to thee in vain. Lord, may be owned and blessed of thee. Lord, thy word cannot return void. It must accomplish. Oh, then, dear Lord, we pray to say, Lord, we and pray that we've not met together this day in vain, that there may be that done and accomplished, that some poor soul, some poor sinner, may be abundantly blessed, and thy name shall be praised. Help us then, be with us. We thank thee for all the kindness, mercy and goodness to us providentially and spiritually. We thank thee for the house of God, thank you for the means of grace and open Bible, the proclamation of the truth. We thank thee for thy beloved Son. Then hear our prayers, pardon our sin, and help us now. We ask thee then that thou fulfill thy gracious promise. Thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Come, and open one's mouth, touch my lips with that live coal from off of that heavenly altar. We prayed, the dear woman who cried, Lord, help me. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 861. Poor sinner, come, cast off thy fear, and raise thy drooping head. Come, sing with all poor sinners here, Jesus, who once was dead. Hymn 861.
Thank you.
in dependence upon the Lord for all needed help. We ask your very prayerful attention again. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33 and verse 3. Deuteronomy 33, verse 3. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy words. Well, we made a few comments this morning on this first clause of this text. Yea, he loved the people. But, one's thoughts and meditation, such as it is, why, is summed up in this hymn that you've just sung. Particularly the fifth verse, when we incurred the wrath of God, alas, what could be worse? He came, and with his own heart blood, redeemed us from the curse. He loved the people. I've often said, and I believe I said it here this morning, he doesn't love your sin, yet mine. The mercy, dear soul, if he loves your soul with that everlasting love, so that you and I are, as it were, as a brand snatched from the burning, made a trophy of his grace. Yes, you know, you sung that hymn this morning, didn't you? Why me, why me? O blessed God, why such a wretch as I, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free. This thought comes to mind. Perhaps some of you younger friends, you say, what does the minister mean? He uses this expression. Over the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts. Well, you'll find those words in Romans chapter 5. But what does it mean to have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts? Well, if you turn to Ephesians chapter 3, you read there of Paul's prayer, for the church of God, and how it desires the Lord to remember them, and indeed to abundantly bless them. Yes. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with the fullness of God. Wherein, yes, we spoke this morning about John's gospel. Why, verse 3:16, that he that believeth should be saved. Why, it's so... Why, it's inexpressible, is it not? But here, in Ephesians, why, it seems to be inconceivable, doesn't it? Oh, and yes, and this hole is where the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Why, so when you and I when we feel, you see, the apostle says, the length and the breadth and depth and height. Well, I just want to dwell on this one word, the depth. The depth of the love of Christ. The love of God. I read it all, and it's twofold. There's the love of Jesus, of God, made known to your poor never dying soul and mine. And there's the, what that love cost, the blessed Saviour and the glorious Redeemer. It's all, and you get a touch of these things, and you and I'll know a little of the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. You and I will truly and honestly say, why me? Why me? I would say, it's undeserved. It's unmerited. It's the love of God. Because we came forth, as David says in his psalm of penitence and repentance, that he came forth a worm speaking lies. Is, oh, isn't that true? Isn't that true in your heart and mine? It is, you know. We came forth from the womb speaking lies. We've done those things that are so wrong. And we've sinned against God. You say, just tell me simply. You say, one of you younger ones, are you saying, just tell me simply where I have sinned against God? Well, let's go back then to the Ten Commandments. And you probably immediately know what I'm going to say now. Oh, yes, thou shalt honour thy father and thy mother. And can anyone in here put up their hand and say that they're not guilty of breaking that command? We've sinned against God. We've sinned against God. As if just in one point. But, friends, yes, and if you and I are under the teaching of the blessed Holy Spirit of God, we shall know and we shall realise that that's not the only point. That's not the only point where we've sinned. And he that is guilty in one point is guilty of all. And yes, and the Lord to shine with the divine light of truth, the word of his grace, the power of his Holy Spirit into your heart and mine. Why, we shall say that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And we shall have to write corrupt. Corrupt. You know, this thought comes as well. In the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, we read there about what the law was concerning leprosy. And the man that contracted leprosy and was not cured from it. And generally, there was no cure except a miracle performed. Why, that man, he was to grow hair on his upper lip. And he was to cry out, unclean, unclean, wherever he went. Whenever anybody was coming towards him, he had to cry out, unclean, so that they didn't get near him. So that they too didn't get this terrible disease of leprosy. It was indeed so contagious. But what about the leprosy of sin? How contagious that is. You know, you probably don't need me to tell you this, but I will. And that is, you know, we don't have to teach our children to be naughty. It's in them by nature. Same as it was in you and I. Oh, but we do have to teach them how to be God, because that's not in our nature. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Ah, no, sin. Sin comes so naturally to us. Well, but then, where's the love of God here? When the Lord, dear soul, teaches you, all men are guilty of sin. You see, there are those that are taught by the Holy Spirit. There are those that are convinced by God that they are sinners. The dear man in the temple, he cried, God be merciful to me, the sinner. The dying thief on the cross at Calvary, we mentioned him this morning, he was taught there on the cross at Calvary that he was a sinner. And friends, and let's be careful here, because many, many people in this world would acknowledge that they are sinners. Yes. But here's all, where does the knowledge of sin bring you an item? Do we just say, well, can't help it, it's just our nature? Do we just, as it were, you know, sweep it under the carpet? Or, dear soul, does it bring you an eye to the throne of grace, to the footstool of mercy? Does it bring you an eye to cry out with David, Psalm 51, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight? Does it bring you, dear soul, to be like that dear woman that came and washed the feet of Jesus with her tears? And again, the publican in the temple, you see, with these, the dear woman and the publican in the temple, the publican in the temple, he cried, God be merciful to me, a sinner. But there was something else. And you, dear people, yes, you know this prayer so well. God be merciful to me, a sinner. But do you know? Yes, experimentally, what he was doing, smiting upon his breast. Here was a burden. Here was something that he could not remove. And it brought him then to the footstool of mercy. Israel, do your sins bring you there? Dear younger friends, when you close the bedroom door at night, you get ready for bed, and you get down on your knees, when none other eye, nobody else, no brother, no sister, no mum, no dad, sees you, you're there on your knees, pleading for forgiveness. And dear soul, and from time to time, is it that shedding of tears, that real grief, that real sorrow? You know, sometimes, again, because of our nature, we may offend somebody. And they bring it to our attention, and perhaps it so upsets us. We're so sorry about it. We go to that one And we say, I'm so, so sorry. I didn't mean it. Please forgive. Dear heart, and do you come before God like this? Lord. The hymn writer says, here on my heart the burden lies, and past offences pay mine eyes. There's real sorrow in the heart. Yea, he loved the people. Yes, let's quote again that word in Jeremiah. Yea, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. And the Holy Spirit, blessed be God, is drawing you and I away, then from the things, from sin and iniquity. And it's drawing us to the blessed mercy seat. And it's drawing out of our hearts real prayer, confession, godly sorrow and repentance. Oh, dear soul, and, you know, like that dear woman in the gospel, you say, he loved the people, death, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And dear soul, there's that, their sins are all forgiven. Dear woman, heard those blessed words. Thy sins are all forgiven thee. Dear old, and you'll know the Saviour's love shed abroad in your heart. Yes, you'll know the Saviour's love shed abroad in your heart. You will indeed. Oh, friends, when a poor soul, dear soul, and it's very often you think, well, I can't be found there. But you know, dear soul, it's very often, dear soul, when we're right down there, shall we say, at rock bottom. When we feel so far off from God. When perhaps, dear soul, you're saying, can ever God dwell here? Can there be any hope for my poor never dying soul? Dear soul, it's where the Lord appears. When, dear soul, you and I, why, there's that looking up, that casting all our care upon him, the care of our never dying soul. Oh, if ever my poor soul be saved, it's Christ must be the way. Oh, and this love, these words of peace and pardon and forgiveness to be shed abroad in your heart. Well, then, dear soul, as we said, the two sides. There's then the Saviour's side. His great love to his people. And dear soul, and yes, and he makes known these things. He reveals himself through the blessed gospel, through the word of his grace, to the poor sinners. Yes, he left. He laid by his glory. Why, wasn't that found in this hymn? Yes. Why, he came, yes. He came to seek and to save. Perhaps it was in the first hymn. He laid by his glory and he came to this earth. He came. See, Christ is the God-man. He's the Saviour of the lost. He had a blessed mission to save, to redeem all those who were given unto him in the covenant of eternity in the past. days of, he came and he say, it's Emmanuel. Where it is, isn't it? We said this morning, I believe it was, Jesus. They shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And there in the same chapter 1 of Matthew, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. It's God with us. Oh, yes. God with us, that laid by his glory, and took a body like our own, sin accepted. And he went about doing good. And he came and he preached, yes, repentance. He came, my friends, for those calling sinners to come unto him and declaring to sinners that he would in no wise cast out, declaring that I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. What a mercy it is, oh. What a mercy that he came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Dear soul, there's hope, isn't there, for your poor never dying soul and mine. We're sinners. And he came to call sinners to repentance. He came to seek and save the lost. But there was a price. There was a price he had to pay. And that price was his own heart's blood. There could be no pardon, forgiveness of sin. Back in the Old Testament. Here. No pardon forgiven except by the shedding of blood. You know, our first parents, Adam and Eve, they sinned, didn't they? In the Garden of Eden. They disobeyed God's voice. And you'll remember that they made themselves, cover their nakedness with fig leaves. But then you read that God made them coats of skin. Some animal somewhere was slain. Blood was shed. And our dear soul. And all these things, right through the Old Testament, they all point to the blessed Saviour, Jesus Christ, who indeed was to shed his blood at Calvary's cross. But before we come to that, yes, dear soul, yea, he loved the people. He loved the people. Why, dear soul, he was to come to Gethsemane's garden. Oh, and I may have said these things before, but it's all, there's no hope for your poor never dying soul and mine without Gethsemane's garden and Calvary's cross. It's a sacred, blessed place. Why? Because dear soul, there sin was dealt with. By love. By the love of the blessed Saviour, the glorious Redeemer. Say, Jesus came. It had long talk, shall we say, but sermon really. 13, 14, 15, 16, the Gospel of John. At 17, there's his prayer unto his Father. Yes, and he prays for them. Chapter 18, he came into Gethsemane's garden. And there, right, before any hand of malice and of enmity was laid upon him, why, it's all we see. A blessed Saviour. This God-man. This Jesus. this Jesus, dear soul, that came to save you and I from our sins. It not only had taken a body like our own, sin accepted, it now, dear soul, begins to pay the price. To pay the price of the redemption of your soul and mine. Blessed be his name. Oh, but the labour, the travail of his soul. Yes. And you see there, oh, I say you see. May you see it. May you be led by God's Holy Spirit into the depth of these things. The depth, there's the depth of your sin and mine. And dear son, here's the depth of the loving Saviour. What do we read there in John 15? Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friend. Or his friend. He's the friend of sinners. He's the friend of sinners. Remember that, dear soul. The friend of sinners. This man. Eateth and drinketh with sinners. And dear soul, he doesn't. He hasn't. And he's still the same. Because his love is unchangeable. But Gethsemane's gone. There is no hand laid on him. This hand was laid on him though. Isaiah 53, in that beautiful chapter, describing, illustrating the death and sufferings of Christ. The prophet there tells us this, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And in Gethsemane's garden, the iniquity of us all laid on him. It is all when yours and mine is so great. What must the whole have been? Yes. What must the whole have been? At the election of grace. There was the travail. A woman went in travail. Yeah. Why? She bringeth forth. She remembereth no more the travail. Because a man is born in the world. But there was the going through. Oh yes, there was the labour, there was the travail to bring the child into the world. But, and there's the travail of Christ. The travail of Christ. The labour and the travail. Oh, to redeem his people. From death, hell, sin and the grave. Oh, what travail it was. There was given to him a cup. And what did Jesus say? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Dear soul, there's a glimpse there. I believe there's a glimpse there, dear soul, of the Lord Jesus as a man. But dear soul, there's the God-man here. Nevertheless. Yea, he loved the people. He loved the people. He says, nevertheless. Say, he lays down his life, that he may take it again. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, what a cry. What a prayer. Thrice forward and backward he goes, as though he sought some help of man. He says, oh, have you tried about your prayer? Jesus prayed the same thing three times.
darkness.
3 times. Oh, yes, and just remember this, dear soul. He was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood fall into the ground. Because of the labour and the travail, the burden, the cross that was laid upon him, the sin, the iniquity, the souls of his people that he loved. He's not going to part with them. He loves his people, great and small, and grasping hard, embrace it all, and gnaw with a soul apart. Tore through lying, pants through death. With his expiring breath, Christ is finished and complete. There's the travail then. Yes, dear soul, and this particularly was once so very, very sweet to me. It was Psalm 40. It's the last verse. And I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. When Jesus was in Gethsemane's garden, with his mouth in the dust, with his prayer, and he says, nevertheless, dear soul, he saw his bride, he saw his people, he saw sinners in Swayze Chapel tonight that he loved with an everlasting love. All that. Oh, may it be so of each and every one of us that he saw us there in Gethsemane's garden and he said, nevertheless, and poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Amen. The Lord thinketh upon me. Such a wretched, wretched sinner. Oh, what shall I do? My Saviour to praise. Beloved like this, that he lay down his life, but my poor never dying soul, but your poor never dying soul, rather than lose us, dear soul, he would suffer, bleed and die in your place, room and stead. Amazing grace. Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I say. This is the other side then. This is the depth of the love of God, which is so incomprehensible, isn't it? Why such love? So undeserved. At the least of all his notice, of all his mercies. Yet dear soul, he loves. What did John say there? God is love. Dear soul, and you and I, dear soul, get a little face view of this in our hearts, which you know the love of God shed abroad. And dear soul, and we shall realise, friends, at the depth of his love. He sunk much lower and much darker than you and I, poor soul. Some have had experiences where they have felt to be sinking into the very pit of corruption themselves. But then they found this, that underneath are the everlasting arms. They've sunk into the arms of Jesus. But his love was so great, His heart, he went right down, my friend. Can we say, right down to the bottom, my friend, to snatch poor sinners from death, hell, sin and the grave. See, he shall see the travail of his soul. And the mother, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Where did Jesus find this hour? It is up. He was to go to the judgment hall, he's go to Calvary. Yet is up more sufferings, so intent that even angels have no perfect sense. And here's up. There was another cry. There were seven cries at Calvary's cross, wasn't there? But just one or two. He cried, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me?" I ask, this how did he deserve it? The response, the answer, dear soul, must be from your heart and mine, no, he didn't. But did I deserve it? Yes. I do deserve the hidings of the Father's face. But he is in the sinner's place, room and stead. Oh, amazing grace. He loved me and gave himself for me. Again, Ephesians 5, Paul says there, Christ so loved the church that he gave himself for it. That he gave himself for it. Paid this price, this ultimate price of his own heart's blood. By covenant transaction and blood. Says Jesus, my people are mine. Their sin-bearing victim I stood, and for them my life did resign. Yes, dear soul, what an amazing account. I don't know why this thought just comes to mind, but a dear friend that I know was once in hospital, and the main lights in the ward were out. And she had got a bedside light on. She was reading from the Gospel of John. I think it was chapter 14, if I remember correct. And some of the other ladies in the ward said, I won't say the lady's name, that she's got some love story there she's reading tonight. And she said, yes, I have. Do you want to hear of it? Yes, please read a bit. Friends. And she read to them the 14th chapter of John. Friends, what? Yes. You love me. I love you as you have loved me. Friend. What an amazing story of love is the love of Christ. The love of Jesus at Calvary's cross. Then there was that cry, wasn't there? He said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They know what they do. Forgiveness. It is a joyful sound to malefactors doomed to die. Yea, he loved the people. Friends, what great love then the dear Lord Jesus has unto his people. Even when we were dead in sins. Our end is love, yes. His love is so, so great. Why? It's self-sacrificing, isn't it? Our end, he laid down his life that he might take it again. But what did he say here? Yes, that as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Why, and again, dear soul, what we read here in John's epistle, what great blessed words are these that dear John gives utterance to. And in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And again, what does he say? Here later in the chapter, and we know and believe that God, and we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God him in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he, as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. Ah, friends, what a mercy. Yes, yea, he loved the people. He loved the people. Dear soul, poor sinner here tonight. Dear soul, do you say, however can God love me? Dear soul, he love you, I hope, the same as he loves me, in and through his dear beloved Son, who laid down his life, snatched us a brand from the burning, made us a trove of his grace, communicated to our soul, declared our sins forgiven, pardon sealed, peace with God. Yes, dear soul. Dear soul, the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ is for sinners. Nobody else. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Come to this hole. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Can you put in your humble claim? Dear soul, can you put in your humble claim as a poor, lost, bankrupt sinner? And dear soul, that you may be able to go home with your heart full of godly sorrow and repentance over sin. You may pour out your heart before him, and you may know something, a little, of this blessed love that casteth out fear, the love of Christ, that he loved me and gave himself for me. And this our, what was that hymn this morning? 680, wasn't it? Come again. Why me? Why me? That's where you'll be found, is our. Yes. Amazed. Amazed at his love and amazed at his mercy, that he could save a wretch like me. well, the time's gone. This text hasn't. That I shall have to leave. But yea, he loved the people. Shall have to wait and see. The Lord should keep this on my mind and in my spirit. Maybe. I don't know. I can't promise. But we'll see what next Lord's Day brings, if he's well. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £586.81, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Richard Field again next Lord's Day, because Mr. Joseph Rutt is unable to come through illness. And the collections next Lord's Day are for Christian Concern for Our Nation and the Christian Legal Centre. And our friends at Oakington hope to hold their anniversary service on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 675. Come boldly to a throne of grace, ye wretched sinners come, and lay your load at Jesus' feet, and plead what he has done. Hymn 675.
with thy blessing. Oh, that there may be in something spoken in thy name, according to thy will, that shall redound to thy praise. Lord, do bless then thy word. Watch over us now. Lord, take us to our respective place of abode in peace and safety. Dear Lord, if it be thy will, oh, that we may be spared to meet together again next Sabbath day. Oh, and we do thank thee for a day in thy courts. We thank thee, dear Lord, for that strength given to us this day. Lord, we acknowledge thy mercy and kindness. Now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, love of God, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, be with us all. Amen.